Chapter 16. Tellings of the Wheel. With the dragon scepter across his knees, Rand lounged on the dragon throne. Or made a show of lounging, at least. Thrones were not made for relaxation. This one least of all, it seemed. But that was only part of the difficulty. Sensing Alana was part two, for all that it nudged at him constantly. If he told the maidens, they would... No. How could he even think of that? He had frightened her enough to keep her at bay. She had made no effort to enter the inner city. He would know if she did. Now, for the moment, Alana was less of a problem than the inadequate seat cushion. Despite the silver-worked blue coat buttoned to its collar, the heat did not reach him. He really was getting the way of Taim's trick. But if pure impatience had produced sweat... he would have dripped as if just climbing out of a river. Keeping cool presented no problem at all. Keeping still did. He intended to give Elaine an Andor whole and unharmed. And this morning would be the first real step to that. If they ever came.
And in addition,
the tall bony man standing before the throne said in a near monotone,
1,423 refugees from Murundi, 567 from Altara, and 109 from Ilion. As far as the headcount inside the city proper has gone to this date, I hasten to add.
The few wisps of gray hair remaining to Holwyn Nori stood up like quill pens stuck behind his ears, appropriate since he had been Morghese's chief clerk.
I have hired 23 additional clerks for the enumeration, but the number is still clearly insufficient for...
Rand stopped listening. Grateful as he was that the man had not run away, as so many others had, he was not certain anything was real to Nori, except the numbers in his ledgers. He recited the number of deaths during the week and the price of turnips carted in from the countryside in the same dusty tone... arranged the daily burials of penniless, friendless refugees with no more horror and no more joy. Then he showed hiring masons to check the repair of the city walls. Ilion was just another land to him, not the abode of Samael, and Rand just another ruler.
"Where are they?" he wondered furiously. "Why hasn't Alana at least tried to sidle up to me?"
Moraine would never have been frightened off so easily.
"Where are all the dead?" Luz Theron whispered. "Why will they not be silent?"
Rand chuckled grimly. Surely that had to be a joke. Sulin was sitting easily on her haunches to one side of the throne's dais, and red-haired Urien to the other. Today, 20 Aethon Dor, red shields, waited among the Grand Hall's columns with the maidens, some wearing the red headband. They stood or squatted or sat, some talking quietly, but as usual looked ready to spring into action in a heartbeat. Even the maiden and two red shields who were dicing. At least one pair of eyes always seemed to be watching Nori. Few Aiel trusted a wetlander this close to Rand. Abruptly Bashir appeared in the hall's tall doorway. When he nodded, Rand sat up. At last. At bloody last. The green and white tassel swayed as he gestured with the dragon-carved length of the Shonchan spear.
"You've done well, Master Nori. Your report left nothing out. I will see that the gold you need is provided. But I must attend to other matters now, if you will forgive me."
The man gave no sign of curiosity or hurt at being cut off so abruptly. He merely stopped in mid-word, bowed with, "As the Lord Dragon commands," in that same dry tone, and backed away three steps before turning. He did not even glance at Bashir in passing. Nothing real but the ledgers. Impatiently, Rand nodded to Bashir and set himself erect and stiff-backed on the throne. The Aiel went silent. It made them seem twice as ready. When the Saldaean entered, he did not come alone. Two men and two women followed close behind, none young, in rich silks and brocades. They tried to pretend Bashir did not exist and almost carried it off, But the watchful Aiel among the columns were another story. Golden-haired Dylan missed only a step, but Abella and Luan, both graying yet hard-faced, frowned at the cotton-sore-clad figures and instinctively felt for the swords they did not wear today, while Elorian, a plump, dark-haired woman, who would have been pretty were her face not so determinedly stony, stopped dead and glared before she came to herself and caught up to the others with a quick stride. Their first good view of Rand took them aback as well, all of them. Quick wondering glances passed between them. Perhaps they had thought he would be older.
"My lord dragon," Bashir intoned loudly, halting before the dais. "Lord of the morning, prince of the dawn, true defender of the light, before whom the world kneels in awe, I give to you Lady Dylan of House Taravin, Lord Abella of House Pendar, Lady Elorin of House Tremaine, and Lord Pellavar of House Corlan."
The four Enderans looked at Bashir then, with tight lips and sharp sidelong glances. There had been something in his tone that made it sound as if he was giving Rand four horses. To say their spines stiffened would be to say water became wetter, yet it seemed so as they stared up at Rand. Mostly at Rand. Their eyes could not help drifting to the lion throne, shining and glittering on its pedestal beyond his head. He wanted to laugh at their outraged faces. Outraged, but also careful, and perhaps a touch impressed in spite of themselves. He and Bashir had worked out that list of titles between them, but the bit about the world kneeling was new, Bashir's own late addition. Moraine had given him the advice, though. He almost thought he heard her silvery voice again. "How people see you first is what they hold hardest in their minds. It is the way of the world. You can step down from a throne, and even if you behave like a farmer in a pigsty, some part in each of them will remember that you did descend from a throne. But if they see only a young man first, a countryman, they will resent him stepping up to his throne later, whatever his right, whatever his power." Well, if a title or two could make anything so, everything would be a deal easier.
"I was the Lord of the Morning," Luz Theron mumbled. "I am the Prince of the Dawn."
Rand kept his face smooth. "I will not welcome you. This is your land and the palace of your queen, but I am pleased you accept my invitation." After 5 days, and with just a few hours' notice, but he did not mention that. Rising, he laid the dragon scepter on the throne, then trotted down from the dais, with a reserved smile.
"Never be hostile unless you must," Moraine had said, "but above all, never be overly friendly, never be eager."
He gestured to 5 comfortably cushioned chairs with padded backs set in a circle among the columns. "Join me. We will talk and have some chilled wine." They followed, of course, eyeing the Aiel and him with equal curiosity and perhaps equal animosity, both poorly hidden. When they were all seated, Gashain came, silent in their hooded white robes, bringing wine and golden goblets already damp with condensation. Another stood behind each chair with a plumed fan, gently stirring the air. Every chair but Rand's. They noted that, noted the lack of sweat on his face. But the Gashain did not perspire either, even in their robes, and neither did the other Aiel. He watched the nobles' faces over his own wine cup. Andorans were proud of being more straightforward than many, and they were not slow to boast that the game of houses was far more entwined in other lands than in theirs. Yet they still believed they could play Deus de Mar when they had to. After a fashion they could, but the truth was Cariennan and even Tyrans considered them simple when it came to the subtle move and countermove of the great game. These four kept their composure for the most part, but to someone schooled by Moraine, schooled harder in Tyr and Cairien, they gave away much with every shift of eye, every slight change of expression. First it dawned on them that there was no chair for Bashir. Quick looks flickered between them,
a slight brightening, especially when they realized Bashir was striding from the throne room. All four actually let themselves glance after him with the faintest of satisfied smiles. They must dislike a Saldaean army in Andor as much as Neon and that lot did. Now their thoughts were obvious. Perhaps the foreigner's influence was less than they had feared. Why, Bashir had been treated as no more than a superior servant. Dylan's eyes widened slightly, at almost the same instant as Luan's, and only a moment ahead of the other two. For a moment they stared at Rand so closely it was plain they avoided looking at one another. Bashir was an outlander, but also the Marshal General of Saldaea, three times a lord and uncle to Queen Tenobia. If Rand used him like a servant...
"Excellent wine." Stirring into his goblet, Luan hesitated before adding, "My Lord Dragon."
It might have been pulled out of him with a rope.
"From the south," Elorian said after a sip. "A Tanaigan Hills vintage. A wonder you can find ice in Caimlan this year. I have heard people already calling this the year without a winter."
"Do you think I would waste time and effort finding ice?" Rand said, "when so many troubles inflict the world?" Abella's angular face paled, and he seemed to force himself to take another swallow. On the other hand, Luan emptied his wine cup deliberately and thrust it out to be filled by Gaishine, whose green eyes flashed a fury at strong odds with the obstinate mildness of his sun-dark face. Serving wetlanders was like being a servant, and Aiel despised the very notion of servants. How that disgust squared with the very concept of Gaishine, Rand had never been able to determine. But it was so. Dylan held her wine firmly on her knees and ignored it thereafter. This close, Rand could see touches of gray in her golden hair. She was still lovely, though in nothing except the hair did she look at all like Morghese or Elaine. Next in line for the throne, she must be a cousin at least, and close. Frowning briefly at him, she seemed on the point of shaking her head, but instead said,
"We are concerned with the world's troubles, but more with those inflicting Andor. Did you bring us here to find a cure?"
"If you know one," Rand replied simply. "If not, I must look elsewhere. Many think they know the right cure. If I cannot find the one I want, I will have to accept the next best." That tightened mouths. On the way here, Bashir had taken them through a courtyard, where Aramilla and Lur and the rest of those had been left cooling their heels. Taking their ease in the palace, it would seem. "I would think you'd want to help put Andor back together. You've heard my proclamation." He did not have to say which one. In this context, there could be only one.
"A reward offered for news of Elaine," Elorian said flatly, her face becoming even stonier. "Who is to be made queen now that Morghese is dead?"
Dylan nodded.
"That seemed well to me."
"Not to me," Elorian snapped. "Morghese betrayed her friends and spurned her oldest adherents. Let us see an end to House Trakand on the Lion Throne."
She seemed to have forgotten Rand. They all did.
"Dylan,"
Luan said curtly. She shook her head as if she had heard this before, but he went on.
"She has the best claim. I speak for Dylan."
"Elaine is the daughter heir," the golden-haired woman told them levelly. "I speak for Elaine."
"What does it matter who any of us speak for?" Abella demanded. "If he killed Morghese, he will—"
Abella cut off abruptly with a grimace, then looked at Rand, not exactly in defiance, but definitely daring him to do his worst, and expecting him to.
"Do you really believe that?"
Rand glanced sadly at the Lion Throne on its pedestal. "Why, under the light, would I kill Morghese only to hand that to Elaine?"
"Few know what to believe," Elorian said stiffly.
Spots of color stained her cheeks. People say many things, most foolish.
Such as? He directed the question to her, but it was Dialin who answered, looking him straight in the eye.
That you will fight the last battle and kill the Dark One. That you are a false dragon, or an Aes Sedai puppet, or both. That you're Morghese's illegitimate son, or a Tyran High Lord, or an Aielman.
She frowned again for a moment, but did not stop.
That you are the son of an Aes Sedai by the Dark One. That you are the Dark One, or else the Creator, clothed in flesh. That you will destroy the world, save it, subjugate it, bring a new age. As many tales as there are mouths. Most say you killed Morghese, many add Elaine. They say your proclamation is a mask to hide your crimes.
Rand sighed. Some of those sayings were worse than any he had heard. I won't ask which you believe.
Why did she keep frowning at him?
She was not the only one. Luan did, too, and Abella and Elorian darted the sort of glances at him that he had come to expect from Aramilla's bunch when they thought he was not looking.
Watching, watching.
That was Luz Theron, a hoarse, giggling whisper.
I see you. Who sees me?
Instead, will you help me make Andor whole again? I don't want Andor to become another Kyrian, or worse, a Terrabon or Aradoman.
I know something of the Koreathon cycle, Abella said. I believe you are the Dragon Reborn. But nothing there speaks of you ruling, only fighting the Dark One at Tarmogaden.
Rand's hand tightened on his goblet so hard the dark surface of the wine trembled. How much easier if these four were like most of the Tyran High Lords or the Kyrianen, but not one of them wanted a shaving more power for themselves than they already had. However the wine had been chilled, he doubted the one power would intimidate this lot.
In all likelihood, they'd tell me to kill them and be burned for it. Burn for it,
Luz Theron echoed morosely.
How many times must I say I don't want to rule Andor? When Elaine sits on the Lion Throne, I will leave Andor, and never return if I have my way.
If the throne belongs to anyone, Elorian said tightly, it belongs to Dialin. If you mean what you say, see her crowned and go. Then Andor will be whole, and I don't doubt Andoran soldiers will follow you to the last battle if that's what is called for.
I refuse still, Dialin answered in a strong voice, then turned to Rand. I will wait and consider, my Lord Dragon. When I see Elaine alive and crowned, and you leave Andor, I will send my retainers to follow you, whether anyone else in Andor does the same. But if time passes and you still reign here, or if your Aiel savages do hear what I've heard they did in Carrion and Tyr...
She scowled at the maidens in red shields, and the Gaishin, too, as if she saw them looting and burning.
Or you loose here those men you gather with your amnesty. Then I will come against you, whether anyone else in Andor does the same.
And I will ride beside you, Luan said firmly.
And I, Elorian said, echoed by Abella.
Rand threw back his head and laughed in spite of himself, half mirth, half frustration.
Light, and I thought honest opposition would be better than sneaking behind my back or licking my boots.
They eyed him uneasily, doubtless thinking it was madness at work. Maybe it was. He was not sure himself anymore.
Consider what you must, he told them,
standing to end the audience.
I mean what I said, but consider this as well. Tarmogaden is coming closer. I don't know how long we have for you to spend considering.
They made their goodbyes, a careful bow of the head, as between equals, and that more than when they arrived. But as they turned to go, Rand caught Dylan's sleeve. I have a question for you. The others paused, half turning back. A private question.
After a moment, she nodded, and her companions moved a little way down the throne room. They watched closely, but they were not near enough to hear.
"You looked at me strangely," he said.
"You and every noble I've met in Camelon. Every Andron noble, at least."
"Why?"
Dailan peered up at him, then finally nodded slightly to herself.
"What is your mother's name?"
Rand blinked.
"My mother?"
Kariel Thor was his mother. That was how he thought of her. She had raised him from infancy until she died. But he decided to give her the cold truth he had learned in the waste.
"My mother's name was Shaeil. She was a maiden of the spear. My father was Janduin, clan chief of the Tardad Aiel."
Her eyebrows rose doubtfully.
"I will swear it on any oath you choose. What does that have to do with what I want to know? They're both long dead."
Relief crept across her face.
"A chance resemblance, it seems. No more.
I do not mean to say you don't know your parents, but you have the west of Andor on your tongue."
"A resemblance? I grew up in the Two Rivers, but my parents were as I said. Who do I look like to make you stare at me?"
She hesitated, then sighed. "I do not suppose it matters. Some day you must tell me how you had Aiel parents yet were raised in Andor.
25 years ago, more now, the daughter heir of Andor vanished in the night. Her name was Tigraine. She left behind a husband, Tarangail, and a son, Galad. I know it is only chance, yet I see Tigraine in your face. It was a shock."
Rand felt a shock of his own. He felt cold. Fragments of the tale the Wise Ones had told him spun through his head. A golden-haired young wetlander in silks. Son she loved. A husband she did not.
Shaeil was the name she took. She never gave another. You have something of her in your features.
How was it that Tigraine vanished? I have an interest in the history of Andor."
"I will thank you not to call it history, my lord dragon. I was a girl when it happened, but more than a child, and here in the palace often. One morning Tigraine simply was not in the palace, and she was never seen again. Some claimed to see Tarangail's hand in it, but he was half mad with grief. Tarangail Damodred wanted more than anything else in the world to see his daughter, Queen of Andor, and his son, King of Cairhien. He was Cairhienin, Tarangail. That marriage was meant to stop the wars with Cairhien, and it did. Yet Tigraine vanishing made them think Andor wanted to break the treaty, which led them to scheme the way Cairhienin do, which led to Laemon's pride. And you, of course, know where that led," she added dryly. "My father said Jitara Sedai was really at fault."
"Jitara?"
A wonder he did not sound strangled. He had heard that name more than once. It had been an Aes Sedai named Jitara Moroso, a woman with the foretelling who announced that the dragon had been reborn on the slopes of Dragonmount, and so set Moraine and Swan on their long search. It had been Jitara Moroso who, years before that, told Shaeil that unless she fled to the waste, telling no one, and became a maiden of the spear, disaster would fall on Andor and the world. Dailan nodded, a touch impatiently.
"Jitara was counselor to Queen Modraline," she said briskly, "but she spent more time with Tigraine and Luke, Tigraine's brother, than with the queen. After Luke rode north, never to return, whispers said Jitara had convinced him that his fame lay in the blight, or his fate. Others said it was that he would find the dragon reborn there, or that the last battle depended on him going. That was about a year before Tigraine disappeared. Myself, I doubt Jitara had anything to do with it, or with Luke.
She stayed the queen's counselor until Modraline died, from heartbreak over Tigraine on top of Luke, so it was said. Which began the succession, of course. She glanced toward the others, who were shifting their feet and frowning with suspicion and impatience. But she could not resist adding one more thing. You would have found a different Andor without that. Tigraine queen, Morgay's only high seat of House Trakand. Elaine not born at all. Morgay's married Tarengail once she had the throne, you see. Who can say what else would be changed? Watching her join the others and go, he thought of one thing that would have changed. He would not be in Andor, for he would not have been born. Everything folded back into itself in endless circles. Tigraine went to the waste in secret, which made Laemon Damodred cut down Aven Duraldera, a gift of the Aiel, to make a throne, an act which brought the Aiel across the spine of the world to kill him. That had been their only goal, though the nations called it the Aiel War. And with the Aiel came a maiden named Shaiel, who died giving birth. So many lives changed, lives ended, so she could give birth to him at the proper time and place and die doing it. Kariel Thor was the mother he remembered, if dimly, yet he wished he could have known Tigraine or Shaiel, or whatever she wanted to call herself, even if only for a little while, just to have seen her. Useless dreaming, she was long dead. It was over and done. So why did it still nag at him? The wheel of time and the wheel of a man's life turn alike without pity or mercy, Luz Theron murmured. Are you really there? Rand thought. If there's more than a voice and a few old memories, answer me. Are you there? Silence. He could use Moraine's advice now, or somebody's. Abruptly he realized he was staring at the white marble wall of the Grand Hall, staring just north of west, toward Alana. She was away from Culain's hound.
No! Burn her!
He would not replace Moraine with a woman who would ambush him that way. He could not trust any woman touched by the tower. Except three. Elaine, Nynaeve, and Egwene. He hoped he could trust them, if only just a little. For some reason he looked up at the great vaulted ceiling with its colored windows depicting battles and queens, alternating with the white lion. Those more than life-size women seemed to stare at him in disapproval, wondering what he was doing there. Imagination? Of course, but why? Because he had learned about Tigraine? Imagination or madness?
Someone has come I think you should see, Bashir said at his elbow, and Rand jerked away from the women overhead.
Had he really been glaring back at them? Bashir had one of his horsemen with him, a taller fellow, not hard to be, beside Bashir, with a dark beard and mustaches, his tilted eyes green.
Not unless it's Elaine, Rand said, more harshly than he meant. Or somebody with proof the Dark One is dead. I'm going to Kyrian this morning.
He had had no such intention until the words left his mouth. Egwene was there, and the queens overhead were not.
It's been weeks since I was there last. If I don't keep an eye on them, some lord or lady will claim the Sun Throne behind my back.
Bashir looked at him strangely. He was explaining too much.
As you say, but you will want to see this man first. He says he comes from Lord Brend, and I think he speaks truth.
The Aiel were on their feet in the instant. They knew who used that name. For Rand's part, he stared at Bashir in surprise. The last thing he expected was an emissary from Samael.
Bring him in.
Ahmad,
Bashir said with a jerk of his head, and the younger Saldaean trotted away. A few minutes later, Hamad returned with a knot of Saldaeans, warily guarding a fellow in their midst. At first glance, nothing about the man accounted for their caution. With no weapon visible, he wore a long gray coat with a raised collar, and a curly beard but no mustache, both in the Ilioner fashion. He had a stub of a nose and a wide, grinning mouth. As he came closer, though, Rand realized that grin never altered by a hair. The man's whole face seemed frozen in that one mirthful expression. By contrast, his dark eyes stared out of that mask, swimming with fear. At 10 paces, Bashir raised his hand, and the guard halted. The Ilioner, staring at Rand, did not seem to notice until Hamad presented a sword point to his chest, making him stop or be run through. He only glanced at the slightly serpentine blade, then returned to staring at Rand with those terrified eyes and that grinning face. His hands hung at his sides, twitching as much as his face was still. Rand started to close the distance, but abruptly Sulin and Urien were there, not exactly blocking his way, yet positioned so that he would have to push between them.
"I wonder what has been done to him," Sulin said, studying the fellow.
A number of maidens in red shields had come out from the columns, some even veiled.
"If he is not Shadow Spawn, he is touched by the Shadow."
"One like that might do things we cannot know," Urien said.
He was one of those with a scarlet strip of cloth around his temples.
"Kill with a touch, perhaps. A pretty message that would be to send an enemy."
Neither looked at Rand, not directly, but he nodded. Perhaps they were right.
"How are you called?" he asked.
Sulin and Urien moved a step to either side when they saw he would stay where he was.
"I do come from Summerhill," the man said woodenly through that grin. "I do bring a message for the dragon reborn, for you."
Well, that was direct enough. Was he a dark friend or just some poor soul Samael had trapped in one of the nastier weavings Asmodian had talked about?
"What message?" Rand said.
The Ilioner's mouth worked, struggled. What came out bore no relation to the voice he had used before. It was deeper, full of confidence, in a different accent.
"We will stand on different sides, you and I, come the day of the great lord's return. But why should we kill each other now and leave Demondred and Grendel to contest for the world over our bones?"
Rand knew that voice, in one of those scraps from Luz Theron that had settled in his mind. Samael's voice. Luz Theron snarled wordlessly.
"Already you have much to digest," the Ilioner went on, or Samael did. "Why bite off more? And hard chewing, even if you don't find Simarag or Asmodian taking you from behind while you are busy with it. I propose a truce between us. A truce until the day of return. If you do not move against me, I will not against you. I will pledge not to move east beyond the plains of Maredo, nor further north than Lugard in the east, or Johanna in the west. You see, I leave the greater share by far to you. I do not claim to speak for the rest of the Chosen, but at least you know you have nothing to fear from me, or out of the lands I hold. I will pledge not to aid them in anything they do against you, nor to help them defend against you. You have done well, so far, in removing the Chosen from the field. I have no doubt you will continue to do well, better than before, knowing your southern flank is safe, and the others fight without my aid. I suspect that on the day of return, there will be only you and I, as it should be, as it was meant to be."
The man's teeth clicked shut, hidden behind that frozen grin. His eyes looked near madness. Rand stared. A truce with Samael? Even if he could have trusted the man to keep it, even if it meant one danger set aside until all the others were dealt with, it also meant leaving countless thousands to Samael's mercy, a quality the man had never had.
He felt rage sliding across the surface of the void and realized he had seized Sidene. That torrent of searing sweetness and freezing filth seemed to echo his anger. Luz Theron. Well enough that he should be mad in his madness. The echo resonated with his own fury till he could not tell one from the other.
"Take this message back to Samael," he said coldly. "Every death he has caused since waking, I lay at his feet and called you. Every murder he has ever done or caused, I lay at his feet and called you. He escaped justice in the Rorn Madai and at Nol Kaimain and Sohadra."
More of Luz Theron's memories, but the pain of what had been done there, the agony of what Luz Theron's eyes had seen, burned across the void as if Rand's.
"But I will see justice done now. Tell him, no truce with the Forsaken. No truce with the Shadow."
The messenger lifted a spasming hand to wipe sweat from his face. No, not sweat. His hand came away red. Crimson droplets oozed from his pores, and he trembled head to foot. Hamad gasped and stepped back, and he was not the only one. Bashir knuckled his mustaches with a grimace, and even the Aiel stared. Painted red, the Ilianer collapsed in a convulsing heap, blood spreading around him in a dark, glistening pool smeared by his thrashing. Rand watched him die, buried deep in the void, feeling nothing. The void walled off emotion, and there was nothing he could have done in any case. Had he known healing, he did not think it would have stopped that.
"I think," Bashir said slowly, "maybe Samael will have his answer when this fellow does not return. I have heard of killing a messenger who brought bad news, but never killing him to tell you the news was bad."
Rand nodded. The death changed nothing. It changed no more than learning of Tigraine had. "Have someone see to his burial. A prayer will not hurt, even if it doesn't help either." Why did those queens in their colored windows still seem accusing? Surely they had seen as bad in their lifetimes, maybe even in this chamber. He could still point to Alana, feel her. The void was no shield. Could he trust Egwene? She kept secrets. "I may spend the night in Kyrian."
"A strange end to a strange man," Avienda said, stepping around the dais.
Small doors behind it led to the robing rooms, and from there to corridors beyond. Rand started to step between her and what lay on the red and white tiles, then stopped. After one curious glance, Avienda ignored the body. When she was a maiden of the spear, she had surely seen as many men die as he ever had. By the time she gave up the spear, she had probably killed as many as he had then seen die. It was him she concentrated on, running her eyes over him to make sure he had taken no hurt. Some of the maidens smiled at her, and they opened a path to Rand, pushing red shields aside where necessary, but she stayed where she was, readjusting her shawl and studying him.
It was a good thing that, whatever the maidens thought, she only stayed near him because the wise ones told her to spy on him, because he found himself wanting to put his arms around her right there. Good that she did not want him. He had given her the ivory bracelet she wore, roses among thorns, suiting her nature. It was her only piece of jewelry except for a silver necklace, the intricate patterns the Kandori called snowflakes. He did not know who had given her that.
"Light," he thought disgustedly, wanting Avienda and Elaine when he knew he could have neither. "You're worse than Matt ever thought of being."
Even Matt had the sense to stay away from a woman if he thought he would harm her.
"I must go to Kyrian too," she said.
Rand grimaced. One attraction of a night in Kyrian was that it would be a night without her in the same room.
"It has nothing to do with—"
she began sharply, then bit her full underlip, blue-green eyes flashing.
"I must speak with the wise ones, with Amis."
"Of course," he told her. "No reason you shouldn't.
there was always the chance he could manage to leave her behind there. Bashir touched his arm.
You are going to watch my horsemen go through their paces again this afternoon.
The tone was casual, yet his tilted eyes gave the words heavy weight. It was important, but Rand felt a need to be out of Camelin, out of Andor. Tomorrow, or the day after. He had to be away from the eyes of those queens, wondering whether one of their blood, light he was, would tear their land apart as he had so many others. Away from Alana. If only for a night, he had to be away.